It's a freedom machine like no other. Starting, growing, and cashing out of your own business.
Then all hell breaks loose.
Burned out, carrying all the weight on your shoulders, fighting fire after fire, never getting a break.
But that was so yesterday.
It's time for your business breakthrough. Break out of the bottleneck. Break through to new levels of success. And break into a life you love. Now from Park Avenue in New York City, here's attorney, strategist, and SBA small business champion, Nina Kaufman. This is the Business Breakthrough Podcast.
Hey, how are you? Welcome to Business Breakthrough. I'm your host, Nina Kaufman, coming to you from the heart of New York City, and I'm glad you're here today. Thanks for tuning in. In this episode, we're going to chat with Ramon Ray, who's a small business evangelist and a really lovable tech geek. And we're going to talk about simplifying your life with automation. So stay tuned for that. You know, there's a great quote by Marcus Aurelius. Yeah, ancient stuff. But he said, which is so modern and really fits for what we're talking about in terms of scaling. He said, if you want to be happy, do little. Because most of what we say and do, according to him, is unnecessary. Remove the superfluous and you will have more time and less bother. Now, wouldn't you love that? More time and less bother? I know I certainly would. And there's nothing wrong with the technical work. It's just not why you're in the role you're in your company. It's not necessarily how you should be earning your money. And when you step into wanting to scale your business, you've got to move into being a business leader, and you have to choose not doing over doing. Because, I mean, hey, I got caught in this as well. When you spend time on the work that's really comfortable for you, work that draws on your technical expertise and your know-how, you can get into a trap. Because if you're spending your day on that, who's holding the vision for your company? Who's looking out 1 and 2 and 3 years from now? So part of how you can get some of that either technical or other work off of your shoulders is with automation. And that's why I'm really excited to have our special guest this week, because he talks about how automation can simplify your life if, and that's an if, but a good if you handle it with a strategy. Because if you try to throw technology at the situation without really thinking it through, boy, I've done that. What a mess. Our guest today is Ramon Ray. And I'll tell you, he's not just an ivory tower geek. He is a super dynamo. I find it tough to keep up with him. He is so fast and so smart and so wise in all that he knows about technology, because he is a former technology consultant and has done a lot of work with Infusionsoft, has also had a lot of hands-on experience in a variety of technologies, including social media, mobile computing, computer networks, online software, and more. He's the publisher of Smart Hustle magazine, and his third book, not just his first, not just the second, but his third book is the Amazon.com bestseller, Facebook Guide to Small Business Marketing. And in President Obama's first live Google Hangout, Ramon got to interview him. So I'm really delighted to have Ramon here on Business Breakthrough. Hey, Ramon, thanks for being with us today.
You're welcome. I'm absolutely delighted to be here.
Oh, terrific. Well, you are known as a technology evangelist, and knowing how much you know about technology and automation, and you probably don't need to guess at why automating and technology is so important in a business, but what are some of the problems you've seen when people haven't done it and haven't done it well?
Sure, and I think there's a few buckets regarding automation.
Sure.
There's, of course, the marketing automation function, which, of course, that you know that I know well, which Infusionsoft does and other vendors. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the aspect of your marketing, where when leads come in, you can automatically reply. If they click this, you can do Y action, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I think there's that whole marketing automation or CRM function, which we can talk about if you want.
Right, right. And that's sort of making sure that you have the right steps and follow-up so that things don't fall through the cracks. Because it's really, what do they say, the fortune is in the follow-up?
That is correct. That is mm-hmm. correct. And I think the second part of automation, just to be clear for our listeners, I think, is the aspect of automating your business overall. I think there's the aspect of you have the automation where when you hire a new staff member, what are you able to do for them? Possibly that when a certain email comes in, what happens next? So basically simplifying your life and making it just much simpler to be able to do the things that you need to do. That's another aspect of automation. There's a little tool called, I think it's a what if then what? Have you heard of that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's a tool like, for example, if this happens, then do that. It's kind of one of those life hacker type tools.
You know, and that reminds me of grade school when they were trying to teach us how to do flow charts mm-hmm. as we were thinking about computer programming, because mm-hmm. that's all about the process. If somebody comes in a particular way, how do you handle them? And depending on the choices that they make, that also determines what kind of responses that they get to that.
That is correct.
Great. So we've got marketing automation, thinking about creating systems in your life so that your things are simplified. And you said there was a third bucket.
Correct. Well, that's, I guess those are two then, meaning the aspect of just marketing automation, which is all part of the second one, but I was just delineating in case that was important. But I think really it's two. Automating in general, just as much as you can about your business, from your clock to your phone to whatever you're trying to do. And I think then just the specific specialty that I'm in of marketing automation, I was calling that out.
Sure. But I have to say, for those of us whose specialty may not be technology or may not be automation, the idea of installing yet another software program, I have to tell you, I'm going to run to the hairdresser because I'm turning gray, mm-hmm. or I just want to curl up in a fetal position and cry. So how do business owners, how would you recommend that they best prioritize what they need and how to go about it? What should be the thought process?
Sure. And for now, if I can, maybe I'll even broaden it beyond just automation, which can be a word that may scare some people, just technology overall,
technology.
If I may. Yeah, I mean, I think that really the prioritization is, one, what is your pain point? What is your biggest pain point? So if you happen to be a lawyer and you have a lot of paper influx coming into you and you're like, you know what, I'm remote, I'm traveling a lot. When I come back to my office, my fax machines are flowing, I got mail going through my door, that could be a pain point. Let me see what technology solutions there are that can help specifically ease that specific task. So I think prioritizing based on the pain that you have, that's point one.
Okay. And what are, for example, some of your pain points that you have systematized and better automated?
Well, Nina, I don't have any pain points because I'm remote, so I just don't, you know, I don't know.
Okay, but if you were a mere mortal Ramon.
Yes, if I was.
And not superhero Ramon.
Yes. No, then really I think, Nina, for me, it's, for example, a simple aspect of using, I use Google, and again, Office 365 is great, other technology is great too, but I use Google to power some of my business, and there's something that they have which is called canned, as in canned peaches, canned responses. Sounds very simple, but mm-hmm. this is just a matter of a macro kind of a template. When you reply to the message, you can click one button and have 100 words, 500 words, 1,000 words copied into the email, if you follow what I mean by that. So people often ask, Ramon, what's your mailing address? I don't have to type those, 50 characters in. I can just hit two buttons and it's already in there.
Right, right. So that sometimes people have used that as a macro. I know Outlook has mm-hmm. the ability to create signatures.
Right.
That I've used. So if there's a lot of information, you don't want to have to retype the same, how do you work with clients type email.
And that's the kind of simple way. Again, we can even go more. Let's take that there's a bottling manufacturer, just to spread it, you know, that people think, well, Ramon, that works for you. But it can work in any way you do it. It really depends on what the pain point is and how technology can be inserted in there to make it easier. And I think, as you said, Nina, it doesn't have to be a big thing. Now, the more you do, the bigger it may want to be. But I think that for us very small businesses, I think it can be as simple as it need be.
Right. And so you talked about marketing automation. And one of my pain points, for example, and I know with other colleagues it's that way as well, is following up.
Right.
Keeping in touch with people. And it's more than just, hey, are you on my newsletter list? But if you know 150, 200, 300, 500 people, what are some of the ways that technology can help automate or automate the reminders at the very least to say, hey, I got to call Ramon because sure. It's been a while and we need to have coffee.
Sure. And I will say, even beyond the automation, I will say, Nina, that so people don't poo-hoo it, even just a simple email newsletter, which, and Nina, you've had an email newsletter for, I don't know, the last 85 years.
I'm not that old.
I've had one for the past 90 years. So, I mean, those of us who've done this for a while, I think that that's one thing I think that's helped their businesses, I must say, because even if, you know, out of the 1,000 people on our list, everybody's not going to hire us or buy from us. Need not be, but we just need 10 people to do it. If it makes sense, what I'm trying to convey.
Sure.
But I think, as far as the automation aspect, I think it's a few things. I think one part of it's the discipline to be able to write the content that's needed. That's and discipline's important. Just mental discipline to do it. Whether it's calendaring that or just a discipline otherwise. I think point two, Nita, and I don't know how technical you want me to get, but I'll get a little geeky and you can...
You can get your geek. It's okay.
Okay. So follow me here. So I produce a blog. One of my companies, as you know, smallbiztechnology.com. So I produce a blog post. I have a company that I use called Maven. I'm forgetting the exact wording, but it's called Maven, just to get a little geeky. Maven, which takes the RSS, or kind of the syndication feed, for those who may not know, you can Google it, takes the RSS feed from my blog, puts it into an email newsletter. It then, going back again, I happen to use Infusionsoft, there's other kind of great brands out there, so this is not about Infusionsoft, but goes to Infusionsoft, takes those who I have tagged specifically and emails out an email newsletter every week. So it's not just even the email newsletter. I'm writing a blog post. And I can tell Maven, take the last 5, take the last 10, take every other week. That's an example of how when I do one thing, Maven then can put it into an email newsletter. Maven then touches my CRM, which is using a tag to determine who gets it. And that's a simple example. I know people, Anita, who do this, up the wazoo. If new customers send them that article. So.
Right, right. You know, and that goes back to your point about if then. It's and you said that discipline of thinking through what exactly is the process that you want in your company to welcome someone in, right, depending on how they come in, what kind of interest they express, and how do you follow them and encourage them and invite them over time to do more with you. So
absolutely.
So that's a really good idea. But I know that there are, over the years, I've certainly, shall we say, squandered a great deal of money using technology. So what are some of the common mistakes you see business owners making when it comes to either using technology or choosing vendors?
Sure. I think one is, one mistake I think is thinking that technology is solve the problem. I think that's point one, thinking that technology will solve the problem. Because I think that oftentimes maybe you need to fire an employee, change the color of your branding. I don't know, something that's totally non-technological, but you think, ooh, I need to buy a Microsoft Surface or an Apple iPad or something to solve my problem. So that's one. Buying tech when it's not tech's the problem, it's a personal problem. We'll leave it at that. I think point two, another mistake is not knowing, I think point two is not buying technology that can expand with your business. You say, oh, you know what? I only need the Walmart computer that's $49. Well, that computer may not be good for you because it may be too slow, inefficient, not enough memory, whatever it is. So that's point two, not buying technology that can grow with your business. I think point three, not buying technology that can connect to other parts of your business. So by that, Nina, what I mean is many businesses use QuickBooks or use Xero or some other financial program, for example. Then they buy program B, meaning another program that can that they need in their business, but they don't talk to each other. So what are they doing now, Nina? They're doing double entry of some sort, which is not good, as an example, and it's a real example. So those are three things I think of, Nina. I think one is just, again, not buying technology that can grow with you, not buying technology that can connect to other parts of your business. And I said something really smart, Nina, which I forgot what the third one was, but I know it was awesome. So whatever the third one was, that too.
Well, it's buying things on the cheap instead of buying things that are really going to serve the needs that you have.
Exactly. And I think and those are just those three. But I think others, for example, I've seen, Nina, maybe just buying it without doing due diligence that – I had an issue here in my home, Nina, I was going to repair a hole in my wall. I tried to do it did some things. It came out wrong. I needed to hire an expert, and I'm not a consultant, as you know, Nina, so this is not a bid for me. But I must say, dear small business owners, some things you should do, and you should know a little bit about law and HR and all these things. But really, when it's a serious part of your business, hire an expert to help you.
Okay. And what exactly is that threshold? Because I know that for a lot of business owners, they think, well, I can do it myself, or I don't have time, or I don't have the cash flow right now to be hiring people.
Right.
What are some ways that they can get that expert advice so that they're not ultimately wasting a lot more in the long run?
Let me give you an example of what I did, Nina, and then you can help me figure out how to say it smartly, if that helps. So as an example, I've done things like build websites on my own. You know, you can use Wix or Squarespace, other great low-cost or free website services. But then it was like, you know what? It doesn't look quite right. Let me do it again. Doesn't look quite right. Let me steal an image from Google. Let me try Ostock. I tried photo.com. Let me twist it this way. Let me Google how to turn the image. After like 400 billion years, it still wasn't done. It looked crappy. That's the time I should have hired somebody half the time ago. I'm proud of myself that I tried it.
Okay.
But I spent so much time. So, you know, or that was my time. Or, you know what? Let me hire consultant A, consultant B, consultant C. Let me get my cousin Jimmy to do it. Let me just throw money at it. And you're doing all these cheap solutions. And when I say consultant, I mean just people who you know don't know what they're doing, for example. So does that kind of help? It's a matter of time, a matter of money, and you realize you need to get somebody just to get it done, if that makes sense.
Well, yeah, and I think if it's going to be an important part of your business that may not be a core part of your product or service offerings, but it really is the technology to enable you to deliver your services, whether it's marketing or automating some other aspect of your business, then at that point, yeah, it probably makes sense at least just to have an initial consultation. I always say this with people about attorneys. Just talk to one. The investment for an hour so that you have a sense of what are the scope of the issues, what do you need to be aware of, you're that much wiser when it comes to that. And that's great because your comments kind of lead me into the next question, which is how do you screen vendors? I mean, if you have, let's say, 12 different programs for sending out a newsletter or 7 different IT consultants in your neighborhood, how do you know who's best? What kinds of questions should business owners be asking?
Yeah, it is challenging. And I must say, Nina, especially in this day and age where you may not see the vendor, but let's talk about local for now if you want to make it difficult.
Let's start with that.
Say, no, Ramona, you can't see them. Woo, that's another – I'll say something different. But, you know, local people you can talk to and touch, I think that a few things. I think, one, referrals. That's a given, but I think referrals are invaluable. I think, too, Nina, I always – you know, we're all different, but I think that the person you're hiring or the company you're hiring – if they're talking more than you are, especially at the exploratory stage, that's a problem. Because, you know, Nina comes to me for help with her car. I'm trying to use examples, Nina, that everybody can get, you know, and she's already saying, well, it's the carburetor buster engine. I made that word up, but, you know, it's something.
I wouldn't know the difference. So, yeah, I hear
it's the carburetor or something. And they're telling me the problem before they've given – I've told them – if they're telling me the solution before I've given the problem, they're not listening. You know, they're not taking the time to really say, let me hear what the need is. So I think that referrals, your vendor should be listening to you. Three, it helps, Nina. I don't think they have to be, but it helps if they are in your industry somehow. You know, you're looking for a – and again, these are silly examples, Nina, but you can help me make it smart. But you're looking for a painter, you know, to paint your doghouse, and the painter's just painted pools. Why not hire the guys who paint the doghouses for a living? So those are three things.
Right. Yeah, no. And that's great because the person who might be an IT consultant for multinational Fortune 500 corporations may not be as up on the solutions that are available for, let's say, the 1 to 20 person small business office.
Exactly. And another thing I'll add to that, Nina, is let's take website security. Just as it's a whole other example.
Oh, yeah. That's a huge area.
Right. Mm-hmm. Crystallize this. You know, your web designer is a good guy or gal. They built your website. But let's say that you're doing e-commerce or you're transacting, I think the English word is, you know, thousands or hundreds of whatever of transactions of credit cards.
Right.
You should invest in a specialist in online security. Nothing bad with your web designer, but that's the kind of thing I think we're trying to explain today, Nina, is that, you know, when you want to automate, when you use technology, there's a time to use even narrow specialists in certain fields.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's great because, so we talked a little bit about, getting referrals for the local face-to-face person who might come in and help tweak things. But when you're dealing with software as a service, as, you know, SaaS vendors, What kinds of things should business owners be asking?
Yeah, and this is the toughest part, Nina. I think that a few things what I would do. One, and to go back to what you said about getting our consultation. That is so important, Nina. It's leading to my suggestion for what you just asked me. But I think if you're a serious quote-unquote business owner and you can't afford whatever the hourly fee or taste of something is, not to reconsider you being business. My point is everybody should be able to do that. Let's put it that way. And what I'm leading towards, so for the SaaS and vendors you can't see and, you know, working overseas, maybe working distant, I would say you need to test people. So, for example, go to their forum, input something. Hey, I need help with this, or I have a pre-sales question. If they're not getting back to you in 24 hours or less or whatever the time frame is that's important for you, that could be an indication. Go in the middle of the day, you know, on their time zone. Use the chat forum. Is it grayed out day after day after day? Things like that, I think, give an indication of that. Startups. Nina, you know, I love startups. You know, it's what I do.
Yes.
You know, it's my passion. But I must say, if you're the corner bakery or you're launching something, you may not want to experiment, you know, your $2,000 a month monthly fee with a startup first. You may want to go to somebody proven, you know, first, meaning – let Ramon or somebody else who's technically savvy, let hear what they've read about it first, you know, instead of just, you know, new product launch, the first car that's driverless. You may not want to buy that on day one. Let kings get out of it first.
Right, right. Let somebody else be first on the list to get the 1.0 version of whatever it
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
But that goes back to your point as well about the importance of getting referrals and talking to colleagues who are in similar businesses to yours to say, well, what are you using and how is it helpful and what are some of the quirks and the problems that you've had as you've been doing it?
Absolutely.
So I wanted to ask you, you have been known for so long, all 472 years that you've been alive, as a technology evangelist, and yet you recently launched Smart Hustle Magazine, both online and off. So can you tell us a little bit about why you started a magazine and how does that fit within your business model?
Sure. So as you said, Nina, for years, over 400 years, give or take, I've been a technology evangelist. And as such, what is a technology evangelist? One who evangelizes that technology is beneficial for small businesses and to use. I think Guy Kawasaki was the something evangelist at Apple. And there's a few people with the real term evangelist in their title. So that's what I've been for years, Anita.
Well, Anita's my mother's name, so you were close. I'll answer
Excellent.
That.
Thank you. So I think that my point, Nina, bottom line is I wanted to broaden the platform that I speak to. And I love technology. I'll always be, in some way, my heart a technology evangelist. But my passion has grown more into helping small businesses. Maybe I've got the Shark Tank bug. Maybe it's because I've been in Infusionsoft. I don't know. But I want to expand what I can deliver to small businesses. And as you know, yes, I have the technology side, but I'm also an entrepreneur. I also, quote-unquote, an expert for whatever that may be, in marketing and branding. I don't know about finance or law. Don't tell anybody that. I don't know those two things.
Really? You don't have a law degree?
I do not.
I never knew.
But other things, you know, which are core to small business, I'm an expert in. So that's the bottom line, Nina, why I did that. I wanted a broader platform. And I must say also kind of on the side, I love Inc., Fast Company, Success Magazine. I've grown up on these magazines, and I'm sure you have.
Reading, I have as well.
Yeah, Norm Brodsky's columns about City Storage, I think, or Manhattan. Yeah, City Storage. And
yes.
Should you fire the guy and all that? But I said, Nita, you know what? I'd love to do something that more chronicles and looks like me as far as the hustle. And that kind of is the genesis of it. So I'm still always will be the technology evangelist. You know, I don't think I'll ever give that up in my heart. But I think going forward, definitely, it's Ramon, the publisher of Smart Hustle Magazine.
Terrific. So, Ramon, any final pearls of wisdom, any favorite quotes, anything that you'd like to leave our listeners with as they consider next steps for themselves and for their business in using technology to better scale their operations and get more off of their shoulders?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, one, you gave great advice right now. So, everybody, replay this and just listen to what Nina said, you know, right before she asked me the question. You know, really, that's the crux of it. But I think a few things, Nina. First thing I would recommend is getting help. I think for those of us, what I would call serious business owners, not that everyone else is not serious, but you're growing, you have cash flow, you maybe hired your first or second person. So get help, because it's worth the investment, paying for someone's brain power to help you do what you don't know how to do. That's one. I think two, Nina, don't be afraid of technology. Embrace it. Don't run from it. And again, same thing I've had to go through, Nina, with law or HR or administrative things. I don't like law. I it kind of scares me, but I read up on it. I at least so I can say I get it. You know what I mean? And then I reach out hello to people and ask them for help.
Sure.
So I would say don't be afraid of it. Get help. Point three, and find the pain points in your business and see how technology can alleviate that. Those are three things I would say.
Terrific. Terrific. And any particular words that you live by that have really inspired you as you've been seeing a new vision and moving into a new realm with your business?
Yeah, I think what I've been doing, Nina, is I've been reading Jim Collins' book. He has Built to Last and Good to Great and these other books. I've been reading Built to Last because this new venture that I'm working on, I really want it to be a company built to last. And so I have my purpose, mission, and values. And if that answers the question, I mean, I've really been just kind of being more serious. And our one of our purpose, we have two, is to our values, rather, is to have fun and do the right thing. So that's what I've been doing the last few weeks is building a business that's pretending I do have 100 employees, even though today I only have myself and about four or five consultants.
Terrific. Terrific. Wonderful. And Ramon, if people want to know more about you or Smart Hustle Magazine, where can they go?
SmartHustle.com, smarthustle.com. And if you want to know more of my personal things, what I'm doing, other things, of course, Google Ramon Ray, RamonRay, no Y, no D, no N-Y, just Ramon Ray.
Terrific. Well, Ramon, thanks so much for being with us today and so appreciate your insights and your wisdom.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, Nina.
And thanks to you for tuning in today. You know, I really want you to have a breakthrough in your business as well. So as a loyal listener, I want to give you free access to one of my special video trainings that I call Ignite. In this Ignite webinar, I share my quick growth scale formula that lets you bust through the plateau, design a self-sustaining business, and live the life you deserve. You can get free access by going to businessexponential.com/BBIgnite. Again, that's businessexponential.com/BBIgnite. Go there now, and we'll see you on the next episode of Business Breakthrough.